The text for the sermon is the lesson read, including the context in the book of Colossians, which provides us with an emphasis on thanksgiving as the motivation for the ethical directions given in the text. Let us pray. We do thank you, Lord God, that you have kept us in life and faith to this moment. We pray now that your Holy Spirit will be with us to help us understand the meaning of your word for our lives and to give us the wisdom and motivation and courage to follow it. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to a church convention at Bronxville, and driving up from another convention, I came in across the George Washington Bridge in New York City, and the bottom bridge was out, which we had counted on going across to get up to Bronxville. So we had got caught in a traffic jam and got lost in the Bronx. And I saw I couldn't find my way out of there. It was a summer evening. So I stopped, and I was going to walk down where I could find a map of New York City. Meanwhile, there were hundreds of young people milling on the streets, total disorder of people and cars parked across and going through the red lights. And I get out, and I thought of the muggings. I got out there, and they surrounded me. Oh, you're not going any farther. And meanwhile, a big fellow, burly fellow comes up, and he has a chain around his neck and a cross. I thought, well, how come he's showing interest in me? He must have seen that. You know that hanger that Tom York has given us for our rearview mirror? It has a picture of this chapel on it. I thought this fellow must have thought, this is a guy is a Christian. He's worth giving some directions to. And so he says, you go that way. And he implied in his directions, don't waste any time. 3 miles beyond that, even a taxi cab driver didn't want to get out and help me because I was looking for directions to turn north. And as I thought of that, I said, how can we persuade this disorderly society of the truth value and the helpfulness of the Christian ethics, such as St. Paul is teaching here to the Colossians? I think of this society and its disorder as a social psychosis. Others have used that term too. After I had used it, I saw others have used it to analyze the disorderliness. Paul earlier had talked about the order. He had seen some order among the Colossians. And how can we bring order there? If I'm counseling a person who is involved in self-destructive tendencies, I will say, Christ died for you. God loves you. This love of God has helped people through the thousands of years. They have known a merciful God. They have been protected. They have been saved. And I could say that too to the social disorder. And Paul does. The cosmic Christ. Christ is great. He's the creator. He's from the beginning. He has the power and the love to help you. He died and he rose again. You can put to death these vices and you can rise again to glorify God. The spiritual circumcision of Jesus can cut away from all the vices that would destroy you. And so he moves in from this context, saying these other philosophies of life, they can't help us with the indulgences of the flesh, and then says, kill. You know, I wrote in my manuscript, kill or be killed. Kill the sexual immorality, the lust, the passions, the evil desire, the covetousness or greed, which is idolatry. And you always remember, what is Paul thinking of back here? The merciful God revealed by Jesus to the woman caught in adultery. Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. In the account of the prodigal son, there's a merciful God. The prodigal son expresses sexual immorality, greed, all of the vices here. But there's a merciful God. Thank God for the new chances. You can start over again. That's the theme of the book of Colossians. Thanksgiving. And that gratitude is the foundation of ethics. He says, so you don't return to the disobedience of the past, of your former lives, but that you are also threatened if you don't get the point that the wrath of God will come upon you. And then he moves into the emotional disturbances. Anger, rage, or fury, malice, a negative, evil attitude. And then you express and objectify these negative attitudes and emotions in words, in blasphemy, in obscene speaking. And you lie. Don't lie to one another. Put all these away. Where's the motivation that's going to help us get through to that goal of cutting off, circumcising these vices? Oh, I see here the road to Damascus, where Paul is remembering that inclusive, powerful love of Jesus, who is all and in all in the translation that was read, but is personally related to these people in their commitment. As in one of their new translations, it says, everything to all of you. In other words, you should be motivated for moral commitment. And so Paul saw that as a Jew. He was murdering Christians. He was a murderer. Oh, wretched man that I am. He knew all of these vices, the power of them. But he saw a supernatural God. You know, how can I say transcend the environment you're in when I'm counseling people who are in trouble? A pastor called me just last week. He said, I'm in trouble. Now, how can I say raise up above, transcend this environment? Only by the help of God. And that's what Paul found. He found it in God revealing. Remember these two terms, revealing and inspiring in his word and in Jesus Christ, the power to put to death the vices, to rise up and glorify God with the virtues. He says, where there is neither Jew nor Gentile, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, bond or free. In the Ephesians, he says, male or female. None of these groupings of people, no idea, no philosophy, no phony religion like Jonestown, but only that relationship to a loving, merciful God who can help us. And now he moves on to the positive ones. Put on, he said, put off the old, the former, and put on the new. Creating at the participle, ongoing, creating. Christ is ever creating these powers of goodness within us. Compassion, kindness, meekness, or a kind of humility. And then that you can express these in a positive, virtuous life. So, where do we find the power for that? To put on the virtues of humility, kindness, meekness, not lying to one another, long-suffering. How can we do all these positive good things? Why? You are the elect of God. You know, justification, sanctification. First table, relationship to God. Second table, the power to relate in a meaningful and positive way to one another. You are the elect of God. God loves you. God so loved the world. You are the holy ones. You are going in a direction of sanctification. You think that's not relevant for social ethics? Gandhi learned some of it. He came to the 900 million people of, came back from studying in the New Testament, along with law and the New Testament in England. He came, you are the children of God. You are the children of God. You should have a positive self-image. And so Paul is saying, you are the elect of God. God loves you. You are the sanctified. Therefore, put on these virtues. And then he goes on to the cardinal virtues. Help one another persevere. Forgive one another as Christ has forgiven you. Put on love, which is like a lifeline. You have one goal in life and you want to get to the other. Like two mountain peaks, and you throw the lifeline to the other one, and it's secured there, and you can securely go to that next goal. It's like binding them all together, all of these goals. Life is precarious. I was talking to Bill, you know, it's not only people in the Bronx, but you can go right down Clinton here or by Lafayette, and these inner city tough guys are also difficult to persuade of the ethics of the New Testament. So I know Bill. Bill's a tall guy. He's got all the tattoos and the earrings, and he's got a switchblade, you know, there, it's that long, and he snaps it like that, and it opens up on a hinge, and then it's that long, and then he's telling me about himself, and he shows me his stomach, and he has a carve on it that long and that wide. I said, "What happened, Bill?" "Oh," he says, "I was stabbed." I said, "What happened?" "Oh, there was a misunderstanding." That's the human problem in ethics, vices, and virtues. It's the human finitude, misunderstanding, the human limitation, the original sin. I says, "Bill, you ought to, you know, he has all of these. His friend gets put in jail, and he gets angry, and he throws the can across the parking lot. You know, all of these vices, Bill has them all." I says, "Bill, you ought to pray. You ought to read the Bible." "Oh, I can't read the Bible. What's the matter?" "It's in hock. It's in storage. We owe $200. We can't get the Bible out. We don't have, my mom doesn't have $200. Well, I said, "Bill, I'll get you a Bible." Next time he sees me, a few weeks later, "Now we got the Bible out." What is he saying? He's interested in what help can be found in relationship to God and prayer in the Bible. And, but, you know what I'm going to do? I'm asking a question today of this text. Will this help me? Will this help you persuasively communicate the will of God that these kind of people can be helped? And I'm going to go back to Bill. I said, "You got your Bible out, don't you?" "Yeah, let it out of hock." Okay, let's turn to Colossians 3. And here it is, Bill. Put him into that supernatural faith relationship to a saving, loving God so that peace can rule in your life. In some way, I can see a power coming out and a victory, the peace that is the umpire and says, "You're saved. You're safe." You know, in a ball game, "You're safe." That's the umpire. "You're saved. You're on a new road, Bill. Put off the old, put on the new. You can have a constructive life, positive. And more than that, give thanks." That's the theme. And he ends there and he comes out with a beautiful thing. "Let the word of God dwell in your hearts." You can communicate to one another, preaching, speaking, admonishing one another, and singing. What a glorious triumph. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Singing in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, evermore praising God, that all in our life is to glorify God through Jesus Christ. Everything you do in word and deed, do it in the name of Jesus. Amen.